An unexpected twist, a poem of sorts. It was just dinner, not yet Passover, not even Shabbat, a dinner among friends. No Pharisees at this table judging the upstart rabbi, no scribes reciting violations of the law of Moses, just friends, trusted friends. Just dinner, an ordinary day with an unexpected twist. Jesus came to Bethany, and there they gave a dinner for him. Holding court at the host's head of the table, Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead, just in case you forgot. Because Lazarus won't. That will forever be his full name, his identity, Lazarus, whom Christ raised from the dead. Character number one. And character number two, cooking and serving. Martha, Martha. Not worried and distracted now by many things, there is need of only one thing, to give of oneself fully in the presence of God. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. No bitter words at this dinner, no sisterly conflict. Martha served. And Mary, what will Mary do next? Mary of Bethany, heart on your sleeve, words without filter, hands that must act, not rationalize, justify, and weigh the consequences. Act, do, show. Heart and hand in concert, giving, serving, pouring out love, anointing the anointed one. Hands and knees and hair saying, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. Mary of Bethany, heart on your sleeve, an ordinary act with an unexpected twist. Who are you to know so much? Who told you what is to come? The people say, surely the Messiah does not come from Galilee. But Mashiach, Christos, anointed one, you knew him. Peter says, God forbid it, Lord, that you should speak of suffering and death. This must never happen to you. But Mary, you seem to know that power is not whole without sacrifice. And the anointing of a king may also be the anointing of a burial. The disciples say, this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? But Mary of Bethany, you let down your hair and gave your worthiest possession without pause, without measure, without words. The words lived in you and filled the house with their fragrance. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. And then, character four. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples. So many reasons he could be upset. So many rules that Jesus was breaking. So many chances that Jesus was taking. And Mary, Mary of Bethany, heart on your sleeve, who are you to act this way? Who are you to anoint a king? As if power is yours to give, as if blessing is yours to bestow. How unexpected. The Son of the Living God receives power and blessing from a working-class country woman. But that is not why Judas is upset. Mary of Bethany, heart on your sleeve, who are you to act this way? Who are you to loose your sensuous hair and touch a man in such an intimate act? As if equality is yours to express, as if intimacy is yours to govern. To Jesus, a stranger once said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you." But he replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." In the reign of God, women are more than sexual objects and child-rearing machines. How unexpected. The Son of the Living God receives the care of a woman as from any faithful disciple. But that is not why Judas is upset. Mary of Bethany, heart on your sleeve, who are you to act this way? Who are you to give such a gift? As if money is yours to steward, as if priorities are yours to decide, as if ministry is yours to perform. Why was this perfume not sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor? Ah, Judas, noble question. Selfless question, generous question. Are these not words that could live in Jesus' mouth? Are they not words that have? Sell everything you have and give to the poor. Sell your possessions and give alms. Sell what you own and give money to the poor. Clear, precise, unwavering words. Jesus' words. Jesus' words to those who were seeking a way to truly live. What must I do to have eternal life? But what unexpected twist is this? Could it be that the path of abundant life holds more than mandatory lists and checked boxes? Could it be that life in abundance is broader than a universal set of rules and regulations? Jesus doesn't say, "You lack one thing, Mary." Jesus doesn't say, "Pick up your mat, Mary." Jesus doesn't say, "My hour has not yet come, Mary." Jesus says, "Leave her alone, Judas." Mary is empowering a king, Judas. Mary is grieving a coming death, Judas. Mary understands that only one thing is needed: to give her love fully in the presence of God. Except, not to alarm, not to complicate, not to confuse, but Jesus says more. Words easily misread, surely, if taken by themselves. Words that seem to dismiss, to sweep away action, to lessen compassion. "You always have the poor with you," as if to say, "Worry about them later." But if we hear that, it is the static of time that has filled our ears. The word of God is a living word, a word that lived first in one time and place, a word that lived first among a people, a word that lives now because it lived then. And these words lived first in the mouth of a Jewish rabbi. These words lived first in the ears of his devoted students. These words lived first in souls steeped in the scrolls of Moses. These words did not fall flat then, but echoed and vibrated and pulled from Moses' teaching that we call Deuteronomy. "There will never cease to be some in need on the earth." Yes, yes, Moses brought this word from the Lord our God. But that's not it. How did it go? "There will never cease to be some in need on the earth. I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. Jesus, teacher, when you teach, we struggle to take notes, because every word from you has a layer deeper and deeper and deeper to follow. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning lived the Word. With Moses lived the Word. In the first century of the Common Era in Palestine lived the Word. And now lives the Word. In us lives the Word. You always have the poor with you. I therefore command you, open your hand. Open your hand to prodigal generosity. Open your hand to wasteful love. Open your hand to both compassion and devotion, to the needs of the world and to the needs of your heart to be with Jesus. But what did you say, Jesus? You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. But Jesus, King, Anointed One, you also said, in your risen life, in your risen body, in your risen words, remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. So if we do not always have you, what have we forgotten? When you teach, Jesus, we struggle to take notes. But with every word from you, we go deeper and deeper and deeper into your call of abundant life, away from greediness and stinginess, into giving fully of ourselves and our love in the presence of God, away from judgment and criticism of the gifts of others. Into your words, Jesus, so that they enter into us and live.